You're listening to The Wet Spot, hosted by Passion Poet, a safe space for our tears, sweat, and sexuality.
Have you always wanted to write a book but had no idea how to start? Or maybe you've already finished your manuscript but now you're stuck. Now what? Do you need someone to help you make sure your manuscript is error-free and ready for the world? Or do you need someone to help you get your book on Amazon ready for people to buy? Do you need any help at all self-publishing your book? Well, let Passionate Word Editing help you get everything done, from concept to completion. Contact us at passionatewordsediting@gmail.com and let's get started. Do you want to become a sponsor of The Wet Spot or to donate to help this Wet Spot go further? Well, here's how you can do it. If you want to become a sponsor of an episode or several episodes, you can hit me up at The Wet Spot Podcast, one word, The Wet Spot Podcast @gmail.com, and we can discuss how you can become a sponsor. If you want to donate a love offering or some just a gift to the Erotic Empire and the Wet Spot itself, hit me up in my PayPal. Just send something to paypal.me. That's paypal.me/eroticempire. One word, paypal.me/eroticempire. And just give a love donation. I would really appreciate it. And that will help the Wet Spot and the Erotic Empire go so much further. So thank you so much. And let's get wet. Get wet. Welcome to the Wet Spot poetry segment. Let my voice touch you in ways that will make you curl and go, Yes, let's get wet. All right, now I've just finished writing this piece. Normally, I would have had the piece already written. So this piece is, at the moment, untitled. But maybe you can help me by suggesting a title for this piece. You can message me directly on Instagram by going to the.wet.spot.podcast, or emailing me at thewetspotpodcast@gmail.com. Listen to the poem, enjoy it, and then message me and let me know what you think. Tell me what you would name this piece, because it's just been done, and normally I would have the poem's title, but I'm drawing a blank, so maybe you can give me some assistance. So here is the piece. Untitled for now. Hearts intertwine across oceans. We meet in the middle at the junction of your thighs. Open. Legs parting miraculously at my spoken command, as powerfully as if I was right in the room with you. Energies meet, copulating on astral plane while bodies are physically unable to touch. My voice resonates around your sex, vibrating inside you. I speak, and thick words thrust deep inside your pink, making voice break, legs shake, and moans slip past lips, desperately trying to stop them, but to no avail. We make love in the ether, together in spirit. I bend you over and make you feel my every command as my voice slaps your ass and spreads your cheeks wide. Every syllable making me go deeper and deeper inside. I grip your hips and take control of your body, gripping your hair and feeling your pussy contract around me as I speak deep inside your mind, describing in detail everything I'm doing to you intimately. And then we change positions. Mentally, I make you ride me as I feel my shafts pierce your wet walls and feel you slide down upon me. The tables are turned, and it's your voice stroking me deeply as you use my mind as your dildo, fucking every thought mercilessly. We fuck like animals in every position, all without physical interaction. But this way is even more intimate than if it was in flesh. Our souls connect intricately, forming a solid mesh that makes us truly become one. Is this what they call a soul tie? Well, let me use it to tie you to the bedpost of our resolve and fuck you, restrain you as I retrain you to answer only to my voice. And as you mentally grip me with the most powerful vice, once, twice, thrice. Oh God, the orgasms are increasing. I can't hold out much longer. I tried not to touch myself, but I'm failing. And we are falling together over the precipice of reason. Orgasms overwhelm us in this season of pleasure, where our bodies both commit treason against our wills. Until the only question that is left is, will we do it again tomorrow? Welcome to the Wet Spot interview section, where we expertly marry erotica and education. We connect with awesome people who have awesome stories. Let's get wet and get deep. Welcome to the Wet Spot, and this is Passion Poet for another week. And I am loving our conversations. I've been having solo sessions a little bit too much. I really am looking for somebody to interview. It's been a little while. Don't worry, I found somebody. So we're gonna have a conversation today with my friend Jojo.
Yay!
And this is actually and the good thing about this show right at this minute. Normally, the conversations are done and recorded, you know, using person's on one end of the call and I'm on the other end of the call. This one's live. And I should really and truly be having a video of where we are right now. For all of you who are in the in the US, I'm very, very sorry. But we're at the beach.
Beautiful beach.
I know, right? It is so beautiful and warm. Yes, I'm digging it in. I know. Anyhow, we are going to be talking today about loving your body, loving yourself. And I'm going to start, let me see if I can switch. I'm going to start by reading what got this going. So bear with me. This is a repost from the Vulva Gallery. Just like how Wet Spot has full stops in it, the.vulva.gallery. And I'll read it. Let's go. We'll go from there. The lady says, "When I was younger, I didn't really care what my vulva looked like. Around the age of 11 or 12, my hair started to grow and I grew my hair very long. When I removed it, I saw that she wasn't the same as before, that she changed. I was so terrified, so scared that something was wrong with me and that I had some kind of defect. I thought that I was the only one with inner labia being bigger than the outer. I was young and I couldn't deal with it at the time. In porn, every girl I saw looked the same and their vulvas didn't look like mine did. I thought that I would never find love and that I didn't deserve it. In the books, I noticed that vulvas also looked the same, but not like mine. I googled a surgeon and I was sure that I would do it at 18.
around 14 or 15, when I had my first boyfriend, every time that we were alone, I just couldn't do anything because I hated the way that I looked, and I thought that he would be scared of her and that he would leave me. After 2.5 years, we broke up. I lost my virginity with him. He was my first love, but we had only done it in the dark because I just couldn't bear to face the thought of him seeing her and of that fear that he would leave me. I was so mad at myself. After our breakup, I was so depressed and so desperate to be free of not loving myself. Even when I wore a bikini, you could see the shape of my vulva. Ooh, that mess, it was fat. Oh, okay, let me get back. Ow! Even when I wore a bikini, you could see the shape of my vagina, my vulva, and I thought that everybody judged me and looked weird at her. Even with my second boyfriend, the same thing happened, and I just couldn't have sex in the light. Then I found out about this page, and I realized that I'm not alone. I am normal and healthy, and that was a big relief. I wish that one day I would completely love myself and find a guy that would love me just the way I am. I also wish that younger girls and boys get more sexual education about our anatomy because it is very much needed. Sending love from Serbia to all of you. You are not alone. 19 years old Serbia. She, her pronouns. So this website, this Instagram page, The Vulva Gallery, does several things. One of the things that it does is that there are hand-drawn pictures of vulvas. Like, from what I gather, is a self-portrait. It's either a self-portrait or they may send a photo to the owner of the website, of the podcast, of the IG page, who then probably draws it. I think that's what happens. She draws what she sees, and then she posts it up with the person's contact and she does it on Sundays. So this really had me going. Like, I actually put on my podcast, on my Naughty Pose stories a couple of weeks ago when I was actually gonna do this podcast, which was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I put on the page questions to the audience, like, do you love yourself? What part of your body don't you like about yourself? You know, and you know, a lot of people were saying, like, a lot of people actually said their stomach. A lot of people said their stomach. A couple of people said their legs. One person said their fupa. Yes. Fat upper pussy area, for those who don't know.
I didn't know.
Oh, you did it?
I didn't know.
Yes, that's actually what
fat
for
upper
pussy area.
But so you mean like the pubic area?
The pubic area is big and fat. Yeah, yeah.
I think when it's big and fat.
Yeah, I know. Me too. So I'm just saying. So you know, basically speaking, this got me thinking, and this particular episode, this particular thing got me thinking about women, their how they think about themselves. They say women, but I mean all of us, really, because and because of that, I just decided I wanted to have somebody to speak to about their experience, what they think about themselves, what they think about this story. And that's where JoJo comes in. So,
thank you.
All of that is to say, first, you can introduce yourself to the people, and then we can move from there.
Who is JoJo? My name is JoJo. That's not my name, obviously, but I don't want to go by JoJo right now. I am 23, going 24. Plenty of life to live. Mm. So if I say anything that's incorrect, definitely, like, let me know. I love learning. I have a teachable spirit. But I like sex, and I like people, and I love their bodies. And I think that the first thing you could do when you're having sex or being a sexual person is show up as yourself. Mm-hmm. Because your experience will change, but also how your partner sees you will be different. So that's why I kind of believe in... I believe in casual sex. I believe in all types of sex. But one thing I believe in is being authentic and having the sex that you need to be fulfilling. Right, so that's me in a nutshell.
Well, I mean, okay, we could start by...
Sexuality is here too.
I mean, hey.
People always think very, like, very simple about things.
Yep.
Simply about things, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, you said something that you said we could start by unpacking these things, you know.
Okay.
I mean, hey, but I mean, you like casual sex, but authenticity,
yeah,
is where you are at.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with this, because so many people are so afraid, like this lady that I just read this, so afraid of being themselves.
Of being themselves and showing themselves. And I want to let you know that men don't care. And that's not what we should, what I should lead with, to be honest. Because here is, we're putting in the millions and what men want and blah, blah. And that's not what this segment is about. Mm. But really, actually, men do not care. And if a man cares, he's immature. Mm. And he can fuck off respectfully, as disrespectfully, respectfully as possible. He can fuck off, because that's not the partner you want.
Right.
And that's why I say believe in casual sex, but authentic casual sex, in the sense that these conversations are somehow mixed and mingled in before you fuck a person. Mm. Because I can't speak for everyone when I share my experience, but for me personally, I probably wouldn't have slept with one or two people I did if I knew they weren't as liberated as I was,
right,
sexually,
right,
or as freaky as I think I am, which I've been told many times in Manila. But right, back to the part about, but having sex, I think there are a couple things we got to talk about. But right, we're unpacking what I said. What else?
Well, no, I mean, this is it. We're flowing but we did. You talked about the casual sex, and that part, I'm
casual sex is great for what it is.
Right, and that to me is a novel concept in for one in Barbadian culture. I say that quantified with the word authentic, because we already know that people like a lot of fucking, but yeah, they do it clandestine. It's not liberal. People like, I find that people have a lot of sex. Or want to be sexual, but they won't be sexual in the dark, and not just. And we can get to the thing in a minute, but I don't mean literal dark. I mean that they are always hiding. They're gonna hide and have sex, and they're gonna hide and do sexual things. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, when I do a book table with my books, people come. They see that from afar. They see the books are. They see books. Then they come close. They see what type of book it is. And I've seen at least one person drop, like they pick up the book because they're interested in the cover. Then they read it and they read the back, realize what it is, and they literally drop it, like if it's it's made of hot stone.
Because that's the culture.
Yeah,
that's how sex is. That's how sex is.
Is portrayed.
That's the context of sexuality and sexuality in Barbados. They gotta do it in private.
But you see, and this is one of the reasons the West part
exists. And some people don't. But they're always. Automatically, when you think a woman or a man is so open with their sexuality, you think, no, I'll fuck everybody.
Yeah.
Got something. And most of the times, it's just like, that's not true.
No, it isn't. All right. We have just read, or I just read, this conversation by this 19-year-old Serbian girl who was... She didn't like her body. She didn't like her body because her inner lips were outside, were longer than her outer lips. I don't know. I mean, if you were watching, if this was a show where I could show you what I saw, you would see the actual image is the inner lips are just a little bit longer than the outer lips. I've seen somebody on a site where the lips were really, really long. Like,
come on, porn, huh?
No. Okay. But it was a
National Geographic or something.
No, it was actually a social networking site called MeWe.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, MeWe.com. It was actually supposed to be a a Facebook replacement, which allows for, you know, Facebook is all about censorship, and MeWe is the complete opposite.
Okay.
Right? But so it's so the name goes like when you take a selfie, it's a me,
mm-hmm.
and then you take a ussie, well, like with other people,
mm-hmm.
it's a we, like a we picture and a me picture. Sort of weird, but yeah, like I said, I had to ask. So I actually did ask on my website, on the IG page, you know, like I said, how do you feel about your body? And do you have an issue with your vulva? You know, Georgia was one of few people that said, no, I don't have a problem with my vulva.
I don't have a problem with my vulva.
You know?
I don't have a problem.
That's very good to hear.
I don't have a problem with my vulva.
Is it like this?
It's not as... How could I describe it? There are a lot of... I researched this a little bit. In my own personal journey to self-love.
Uh-huh.
I'm still getting there. I'm not there yet. Mm. But, they have a lot of, like, terms for them, like, wool turkey slices,
mm-hmm.
wool ham, you know, any chicken, how they have, like, the two male chickens. But it's like that, but one is a little deeper than the other, but it's still all pretty, like,
It's packed in.
But it is, I don't want to say it's thick,
mm-hmm.
because I've seen thicker,
mm-hmm.
but it is, it's a nice little handful, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, but I'm glad to hear it, because... This is the kind of thing... I remember having a conversation with my doctor. I had a conversation with my doctor last week. I had some blood work. I'm going in for some... Not surgery, but having some stuff done. And, you know, I was talking to him about some of the things that was bothering me. And some of the things I was dealing with from a mental perspective, from a sexual perspective for most of my life. And when I was talking to him about it, he's like, you're really open about this. Like, you can talk about this. And you've given me a full understanding of where you are.
People are scared by that.
Yeah,
people are like, oh, my God. People don't do it. People are never that honest.
Yeah, but honesty. But I mean, that's why I started with the authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
Authenticity is completely for me. That is the height of love for me.
Like, exactly.
Honestly,
you gotta be honest. I think if relationships are built on lies, on the image of a person, on you trying to be the best all the time, much like Instagram or much like Facebook,
mm-hmm.
but there's so much things that goes on behind the scenes, and for you to really understand a person, or for you to really fuck a person, and for them to be satisfied, I think you need to tap in to all of that, but I guess I'm not really talking about casual sex when they say really fuck a person about, but you got, there must be something more than... There gotta be something.
Like
chemistry, a spark, right? A connection.
Something, exactly. Something. And this is it. I personally, I agree with casual sex as well. But my thing for me is like I can't. I find it more difficult, or albeit impossible, to go and pick up somebody off the street and go have sex with them.
But, I don't find that impossible. I just would prefer not to.
Right. I personally find it a little bit impossible. Although I shouldn't say impossible, because I have gone to like the back rooms in the what's called in all that, in the sex, in the you know, like rehab.
Oh.
You know, I have done that once or twice. But I mean, you know. Right, and for those who are now listening to me from the US, I use rehab because I couldn't figure it out, but I was trying to remember what it was. Strip club. I use an actual strip club in Barbados because I could not remember the name. It was, and you don't want to be on your podcast hammering and trying to look for words, right? So that's what it hit me. It's a strip club I'm talking
about. Right, so we're talking about authenticity.
Yeah.
About her age and the fact that she has this to do with her body image.
Mm.
For me, it's really sad, and I'm kind of heartbroken about it,
mm-hmm.
simply because it's her first time. She should be having fun. Granted, mm-hmm. that's not always the case,
mm-hmm.
and I don't really think that's ever the case with most women. And I don't know about men, because I'm not a man, but mm-hmm. probably say most men too. But for me, I think, I don't want to blame her, but that union, that partnership, they've been a disservice to each other. Because that man, I don't know if she ever shared it with her boyfriend, why she want to have sex in the dark, but he's not any wiser after being intimate with her. Nope. And she's not any wiser, more loving about herself after being with him, if you understand. But yeah, that was her first love. And she never said what the relationship ended. But back to the point of the age, I don't feel like families really let people embrace their bodies or even really discuss themselves, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I mean,
because the first thing I got to my mom was how to wash myself properly. One, or trying traditions like saying only salt water after a period, like little things like that. But something the first time I ever had, like, let's say, also it was too hot, and it was about 10, 12, and I wasn't wearing cotton panties, so I got a yeast infection. My mom automatically thought I was sexually active.
Whoa.
I wanted to shave. My mom thought I was sexually active. I used to go in the bathroom and lock the door. My mom thought I was masturbating, and that was sinful. So it was before I can even understand, I am being shamed. So any kind of interaction or thought or search was on a calendar tab, was behind my mom's back, was eating browsers, and I should never have to go outside to have those conversations.
Yes, that is true.
But for me, labia. Right. For me, I think, much like your facial features, that's yours.
Yeah, exactly.
That's yours. And this way was it. For me, sex is an act of worshipping on any level, right?
I need an applause thing for my podcast or something.
And no, because I'm at 23 now and I've had sex. I can say, man, if you at least trying to like worship me or like get into that sexual part. I mean, you could fuck all real good. You could be sexual really good. So there are different areas for what I'm saying, and I want you to put it into context to what I'm saying, like wherever it applies to your life.
Of course.
I'm not saying there's one way to have sex. Never that. As a Christian, you probably should be saying that. But that's your identity. That's part of your identity. That's not your sole focus. That's not all you have to offer. But your labia should never be a cause for shame or fear. And I used to have sex in the dark a lot too. For me, it helped me concentrate. It helped me not be so insecure. And as I got older, it's more a matter of, well, I let my windows open and I don't like curtains because I'm lazy. So for privacy reasons.
Right.
But I always leave on a light. And when you have sex in the light or sex in the daytime or sex where you can see, it's more enjoyable because most people are
visual
people. And the whole point of sex is the visual or appealing to other areas of the senses. And sometimes we won't be blindfolded yet, but at least once, like, a challenge would be have sex with some light on or any light, so you could really look at all the dark marks you have, the bumps you have from shaving. I have dark marks from shaving. How you look, because also it's a matter of safety too.
Yeah.
The first thing was starting sex ed was, you need some light to see what the fuck you're sitting on.
Okay.
You need some light. You need to look at it. You need to be able to see it. All right. Does it have any, I don't want to say abnormal.
Yeah.
Does it have any growths? Do those growths look infectious or inflamed? You know, like all of these are things you need to think about and look at. And sometimes you can't always tell by looking. Definitely to get tested. But you need that to be vulnerable and to know for yourself what you're getting into, I would say.
I like it.
I rambled.
No, that's fine. I ramble too. I ramble a lot. This is probably why the interviews be an hour or so.
Fair.
But you didn't ramble because this is the crux of the matter. This is what we're trying to get into. That's the reason why I started with this story. Not to focus on the story specifically, but to bring light to the fact that There's so much that we still need to explain to even to ourselves. I like the fact that you said in healing and self-love, because a lot of people don't love themselves. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people do not know, and you talk about how parents and how family treat. My my experiences are not necessarily from a sexual perspective, but I get the same things. Up to last weekend, I was washing my car, and my dad, I didn't realize that my parents, I thought my parents were upstairs. They actually went for a walk. And so I do not usually go outside without a shirt. But this time I'm like, okay, there's no one around. And I went outside without the shirt. I was washing my car. And my first thing my dad said when he came up was something to the effect of, basically he referred to the weight. And he basically, I can't remember exactly what he said, but whatever it was at the time, it upset me so much that I just shut down for like half the day. Basically speaking, you have to be able to love yourself, because yeah, people are going to fuck you over. I'm like, I do love myself. Yes, I do need to, yes, especially in my last conversation with my doctor, I do need to lose a little bit of weight. But fuck it. I maintain. Before you say anything, I maintain. You might like to look at a guy with abs, right? But you ain't gonna fucking well lay down and sleep without a teddy bear.
That's funny.
So, you know,
I've recently had I had a couple of dad bods before. Mm. And I hate that term because it's very like derogatory.
Yeah, stuff. It is.
But for me, it's like it plays a part in your attraction.
Mm.
But I think this is when you're going more into like serious sexual relationships and not necessarily casual. I mean, like casual, anything about your boat.
Mm.
But I think the ideal that men should have a fucking 10-pack. Like, if we buy in salt bread and should be tall and all those things is an idea that was fed to you.
Of course it is. Life. Yes.
Because majority of the population does not look like that.
You understand.
I don't think, sometimes for me, I am never telling a boy not to go out there and go to the gym. Mm. Not to go out there and run a few laps. I'm never saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I think any change should come from a place of, even if you're uncomfortable, there should still be a place of, well, this is me right now. And some people don't have that.
Exactly.
And you can't say that for everybody. Because mm-hmm. I know someone who says, I don't like my weight, so I want to wear a lot of baggy clothes. And it's a woman. Mm. I want to wear a lot of baggy clothes and I don't want to dress, so I usually dress in tight things because I don't like my weight. But I was like, you should still enjoy your life now.
Exactly.
You should still enjoy these clothes now.
Enjoy who you are.
Well, I can do this for you. And I'm not saying that it's not a good motivation for people. I'm not telling you to change or not to be uncomfortable. But I'm saying, what would happen if you come from a place of love? Because sometimes when you get to your destination, you don't even love yourself there either.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then you have enough, when you become too muscular, it's always a case of, oh, that's scarier. Especially for a woman, it's, oh, she look real mannish. In Barbados especially.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're too slim, it's like, oh, I could break she in half. And that's a sexual fetish I don't. I mean, I feed into it too when I'm flirting. But that thing about breaking small girls because I'm slim and... Does Ben look real good? Yeah, we do Ben look real good. But I just try to say it's like, sometimes I look at myself and I'm like, and this is where I'm like, it will always be a process to choose to love yourself.
Yes.
Much like who you choose to love a partner, you choose to love that annoying dog that crossed the road, or you choose to go to work, even if you don't want to.
Mm.
I look at myself and say, I don't know why anybody would like me because I'm so small. Sometimes like, and I just wear a part on, I love it. But sometimes I look at myself and say that, and I'm like, you don't really know, we're living for nobody approval though.
Exactly.
You gotta love you for it. But for me, especially for this young girl at 19, there's so many other things that she has to go through life looking at. Career. What kind of, I don't even want to mention men. Career. Mm. How does she see the world? How does the world see her? Creating her self-image. But all that's part of self-image. Finances.
Mm-hmm.
Where she wanna live? Does she wanna travel? Does she want kids? Will she need to freeze eggs? But even before we get to that biological function of being a mom, it's a case of, are you a happy individual?
Yep.
With or without a partner? Mm-hmm. With or without sex? Mm-hmm. Are you happy? Mm-hmm. And she has all these things to do with. And her labia, something that isn't seen by majority of the world or the people that she knows,
mm-hmm.
should not be her main cause for concern. And it should not lead her to leave a relationship or for a relationship to break up or for her to feel shame. Like, it's not like she went into dishonesty clan. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like... But let me talk about the fact that in some areas around the world, they would cut off the clitoris and the labia simply so a woman cannot feel pleasure.
Right. That's, yes, it's called female genital mutilation. It is horrible.
And it's painful.
Yeah, well, of course.
But,
8,000 nerve cells, though.
But on top of that, it's a matter of, imagine this woman doesn't even know what she's being punished for. Or even as a flip side of, she sees it as a part of culture and it's necessary. You don't know. You do not. You don't even know what pleasure is. Mm. If you understand.
Oh, believe me, I do. I got a circumcision at 21 for medical reasons. And that was before ever having
does
sex.
Does it change?
Well, you see, I would never know because I didn't have sex yet. But I will tell you that's not true because cotton is very soft. Mm-hmm. Cotton is extremely soft to the touch. After my foreskin was removed, I felt every single thread individually.
Whoa.
For a week before it got accustomed to it. Mm-hmm. And now it's normal. So I am of the definite opinion that circumcision, medically, a lot of the nerve cells that that are around the glands, around the head, there are actually some in the foreskin as well. Mm-hmm. Which I did not know. I didn't know until I did the research. And therefore it actually inhibits the sensation. And I'm proof. Honestly speaking, I never had sex before, but the idea that I could literally feel, you understand? And there's old cotton boxers that this ain't new. There's old cotton boxers that you know that wear out. You understand? Uh-huh. And it's still, I could feel every single tread. I also laughingly said I had my first menstruation because getting hard every night of while I'm asleep, which is natural, it started bursting the stitches. Mm. So I would wake up with blood in the box. So I was like, hey, I got a period.
I think that was a coping mechanism because that was traumatic.
It was traumatic. Yeah, that was traumatic. That was traumatic.
Even for me, someone who knows they're gonna get a period every month, it takes a toll. Mm-hmm. We're getting distracted again. But it takes a toll, honestly, when I look down my toilet bowl seat and I see and I see blood, I'm like, shit. I have to deal with this for a week to 2 weeks. And hopefully there's no spotting. And people just say, oh yeah, that's a thing. But for me it's like, nah, like when you start living a very, I don't want to say sensual, mm-hmm. but a life where you think, sometimes I don't think about things, like I hate cooking and I don't like kitchen and blah, blah. But then you start thinking about your body and how your experience in the world, but also mm-hmm. how you affect change in the world and how people perceive you and all that. Not that you're overwhelmed by it, but the idea of not fully enjoying every biological experience, much like a menstruation, Our childbirth. Some people don't have these experiences. They choose not to. I still debate whether I want a child or not. But my point is, you need to start thinking about why you're here and the experiences that you have outside of sex and sex, period, and what that means and how that contributes to your purpose. Mm. When you start feeling things and experiencing things 100%, as we are, I think we are supposed to feel things, mm-hmm. and not saying, oh, well, that happened, I could blow it off. Then you start feeling things, the harder it becomes to just be like, I can move on from that, I could do this, I could do that, I could do that. Because no, you want to think about it now. And I think that's part of growing up. You want to, some things I don't think about, I'm not gonna lie. I ain't here saying I'm like, ew, and it's like burning crystals, well, lighting, burning sage and crystals, I'm not that. But then you start, my pussy is very important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Much like my mental is very important.
And that is true.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then you start linking the two because people separate sex so much. And I'm not saying you can't, because I do. I'm not saying you can't. But when you start linking the two, you realize how important it is to really love yourself, because nobody will be there for those moments when you're alone and you have to take care of yourself.
So loving yourself includes loving all of yourself.
All of yourself.
All of your experiences,
yes.
All of you, including yes. your sexuality, yes. in whatever way, shape, or form it looks like.
Yeah,
and that's basically it. When I chose a polyamorous lifestyle, it was literally because I sat and watched. For those of you who watch the Vice channel,
I do.
the Vice channel, I had watched it. I actually was at my girlfriend's house at the time. This was before we got married. This is my second wife, the one from Antigua. So I had gone to Antigua. To visit her. And she had gone to work, and I was watching this show. We were monogamous for a year up to this point. And we spoke, and this whole thing was all about non-monogamous relationships. That was the whole, all of the Vice episode was about this. Mm-hmm. And it just opened this whole, I was like, what? Like,
that there's something different.
There's something different?
Yeah.
Like, what, you know? And we literally had this conversation when she came back home, and I said, I think I want to open this. I think we should have, I didn't have all the vocabulary that I have now. But basically, I was accustomed, I had had long distance relationships before, she had not. And I felt like it was a benefit to her to allow her to open, to allow us to open up, so that while she, if she is lonely, she could find someone to be with. And it worked. It worked for 4 years. We broke up. We broke up and divorced, but it had nothing to do with the polyamory.
Mm.
Right? You know, what I didn't take into consideration was the fact that as a woman, she could find a man way easier than I could find another woman. Like, I can't.
You think so?
Oh, hell yeah.
I feel like meeting men easy is finding one you really want to fuck.
Well, yeah, but that's true, but it all depends. I mean, we try not to get off topic here. We could do this often. But it boils down to the fact that, again, we going tied into one of the things that we talked about, what has been fed
mm-hmm.
to society and the traditional thoughts of what a woman wants from what society tells her. A woman wants the one man. The woman wants to be pursued and taken care of as the only one. And that by itself, when you come to a person who is openly polyamorous, what I find frustrates me about it is a woman would more willingly be an outside woman than somebody in a polyamorous relationship.
Really?
Yeah, most women would rather, if they can do it, they don't want, no, like, I've had people who they like me, we talked, and they were fine until I told them, okay, time to meet your wife, or, oh yeah, that was.
For me, I think what I would prefer is honesty.
But I am honest.
I would prefer to say, all right, well, you want to meet your wife, no, she got a value. I'll be like, okay.
But, yeah, but you see.
But I a little crazy.
No, you're
but,
not.
But for me, it's a matter of once there's honesty and respect, and sometimes I am very toxic, so I like, fuck respect. But once there's honesty and respect in a very serious polyamorous relationship, I don't mind meeting a new wife.
Right.
I don't want not be known about, because I prefer, there is still a sexual, there's still a very sexy aspect to fucking someone's husband. You know, like, I watch a lot of Pornhub. Probably why I'm like this, probably why I'm like this, God. But for me, it's like, there's still a very interesting concept of the taboo.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself is an arousal. It's arousing. So I would prefer to meet the wife I know and then play into that concept. Oh, I'm fucking a married man.
Mm-hmm.
But I would still feel good knowing I can meet the wife. I'm probably going to treat something, maybe.
Right.
Who knows?
Right.
Because they're going to capitalize on each opportunity. But for me, I don't know. I don't understand this whole outside woman thing.
Well, you're like, normal. You're not, as you said, you're a little not
little
normal.
Too, little too well.
No, I know. You're perfect. You're perfect. But you don't.
Know,
Well. But you see, this is it. And I mean, and for those who are listening, one, you know that I like to ramble, but two, it isn't rambling, because all of these things tie in to the crux of the matter. I would say that this episode is focused mostly on authenticity. To be honest, you need to love yourself, and you need to love yourself authentically. And what does that mean? In a situation like what I described with my parents last week, fat shaming is a thing. How I have learned to love myself, but I've also learned to have coping mechanisms and protection mechanisms, because I don't want to be having to be in a position to deflect bombs all the time. So as much as I love myself and I'm completely naked around, like when I'm in my own space, since I've moved back home, I always wear clothes, especially, obviously. But, I mean, like, I don't go out without a shirt, you know, like, just because I don't want to hear the jabs from my parents, right? From my sister, from my family. I don't want to hear the jabs, right? Because and everybody else, well, my mom is not, and she's trying, but because of age, she's trying to get a little bit healthier. But my dad is always outside doing mowing lawns and being active. My sister is in the gym, you know, and these things, you know, and they dig on you when you're not, you know, because, oh, you're so, that belly's so big. Don't even let me start, pun. Don't even let me start. Oh, yes. Again, I break in here to say we at the beach. And for those of you who don't know what that is, as a snow cone cart that just passed. And yes, I am digging it into all you people who are in the cold. I know,
but
I know.
It's so different, I think. Because I live with women who are in the plus size of life.
Mm.
And I don't know if it's because they're women, they're still getting the same amount of action as if they were small. But for me, while they do have body issues, I feel like in society, no, that's more accepted.
Yeah, it's more accepted. Yeah, it's become more accepted.
But for me, it was always, because I grew up with so many sisters, I just told myself, all right, women are different, and they come in all shapes and sizes. And I would say, from before knowing myself, I would always say I was a lesbian because I never watched porn for men.
Mm.
I always watched porn for women. No, I watch it for men and women. And I always look at nails and toenails and stuff like that.
But there's a reason for that, because since lesbian porn is way better. And,
to
and
you?
Yes, you know why? Because it is, because most male porn, most male dominated porn or has a guy in it, it still focuses on going to the edge, going to the climax from one end to the next. Whereas a woman having, I am extremely jealous of you girls who can be multi orgasmic, because it's like you get the orgasm, then the man got the refractory period, right? Whereas y'all keep going and going and going.
It's like, give me 2 minutes. Yeah,
but
what's up?
Yeah, and as you go older in age, that 2 minutes is good to 5 minutes, good to 10 minutes, maybe a half hour, and sometimes like, this ain't happening again tonight. So I mean, you know, so yeah, I wish I could go back to my 20s. My 17-year-old son had like he was sleeping, and he woke up, and then he was like, "This ain't going down. This body ain't going." And I was like, "You disgusting piece of shit!" Like, in my head,
he wouldn't know.
He
doesn't know.
I'm like, I wish I had that problem again, you know. But oh, you know, yeah.
For me, no, because I worked in the medical office once, it was like very sharp work experience. But I always look at men and they say, "Do I want to be with this man when he has a catheter in?" And it's so weird, but it's like, no, like, you're gonna need some help peeing ever eventually. Do I want to be with this man? And I was like, I say, okay, what if this man, if he had a catheter in? And I'm like, no. And it's like, all right, well, that's not good for me. Which is weird. But I am happy. Mm. And for me, as I get older, I'm just learning to shut up. Because I believe that more often than not, people already have those negative comments in their head about themselves.
Yes.
People already know what they're going to look like. People already know how people are going to respond to them. And that's why I think, Lizzo had this video once where she was like, on Instagram, where she's like touching her stomach, and she's like, "I love you" and stuff like that.
Yes.
And I'm not saying people who want to get healthy can't, but again,
and we're also not saying that just because you're bigger, you're not healthy either.
Exactly. But for me, it's just a matter of loving yourself where you are. And if somebody can't love you for you, and somebody can't, and it's nothing too in terms of sex. If you're having sex with somebody that you can't wobble with in the daytime, that's not the person to have sex with.
Again, I need an applause like, single.
If you and this person can't sit up on the beach, or you can't sit them out to lunch, what you want for them? Like, and that's my thing. Like, and as I say about being respectful and being authentic, like, yes, you want to get off. But at the same time, I don't want to get off nobody that I got hurt. Like, I can't, like, be like, all right, well, meet me here. And I think that's the whole, but in Barbados, as most people know that you're having sex is this weird thing. But I don't know, that's why I'm not having sex as much or as often as I would like, because it's like, I won't be able to wobble with you. And I like, people, that's what I mean, as soon as you start doing certain things, people think, no, you like me. No, nigga. I try much when I fuck you, I actually come. Like, I don't like you, but I know what gets me off. Going out, that fucking gets me off. Because it could be like flirting and teasing you while we outside, and then we could like, fuck, and it's better. Whereas if I just come from work, and I just come from like feeding the dog, it's not, it's not, it's not gonna be good, but it's like,
it's not the right space.
There is, there's foreplay and foreplay starts from the first time you look at this person and say, all right, because I think women know.
Yeah,
I think men know too.
Yeah.
But I think people are more able to lower their standard to just have a nut and to just have some dick or pussy, and that's it. But I'm not saying you can't do that either. I'm just saying for me, like, I prefer to be able to walk with you at, in the daytime. And I think that's something that I get so much heat for from my sisters. Like, I don't hide. I don't want to be respectful of my family or their preferences, my lifestyle. But it's a matter of, you gonna know somebody gonna see your face. Somebody gonna be able to see me with you. Somebody gonna know that I with you. There's accountability here.
Yeah.
There's accountability. Somebody gonna lie with you. Somebody has to see you. Somebody has to see us. Because they know I ain't crazy. They know you ain't Casper. So, and that's just me.
But I understand that too. Because, I mean, unfortunately, there are... A couple years ago, there was like how many 50-somebody murders in the country. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them were female. And so I totally understand the idea of somebody gonna see us together. Because if I disappear, somebody gonna be able to know that. And true, and so I mean, it's unfortunate that it went that you gotta go that far too. But yeah, I get it, I understand. But for me, I like what you said about the fact that you said going out for you is foreplay. Going out for you.
Knowing about your interests.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I'm trying to get to know you as good as your mom knows you. Mm-hmm. No. But I'm trying to be able, because for me, I'm very mental and I'm accepting this too.
Mm-hmm.
I got fantasies in my head before I even come to you with sex.
Mm-hmm.
I got fantasies in my head about you
mm-hmm.
before I even come to you with sex.
Mm-hmm.
There are times I could be like, let me go, move. But there, more often than not, I enjoy the experience so much more when I could fantasize about you. And I don't know if men are like that. I don't know if other women are like that. But it's about having kind of sex you want to have. I prefer sensual sex or fucking, because it's still fucking. And I really love making that kind of way. But I prefer sensual sex that takes off my box of being feeling worshipped, that takes off my box of feeling safe, that takes off my box of having a connection.
Mm-hmm.
If not, you can just go around life fucking. And I'm not quite. Listen, I spent 16 and 19 fucking. That's what I can say now. Alright, that's fun. I can still do it.
But yeah.
But I prefer not to.
I've grown over that. I've grown past that.
I'm getting over it.
I'm getting over it because it wasn't it.
But and that's the thing about sexuality. And sexuality is very dynamic.
Yes.
Nobody says you have to fit into one box.
You know, they do. But you know, really? People do say it, but it is true. You're not. You don't have to.
You don't have to fit into
You one. Don't have to fit into one
You don't
box.
Have to like one thing. You don't have to be one way all the time.
Well, yeah, you see, this is the thing. People, monogamy is not just, by definition, is one man, one woman. In my head, monogamy is an ethos, a methodology. In terms of the fact that people think about that, monogamy to me, if you have a monogamous mindset, mindset is the word I was looking for. Monogamy is a mindset. So if you have a monogamous mindset, you are not going to be, you're going to be closed-minded. You're going to be all like, it got to be me and you and anybody else all the time. And you can't open your mindset. You can't open your mind to other things. Not saying that you are going to do those things. But if you have a more accepting mindset, even if you choose to be sexually monogamous, if your mind is open, you can accept, this is my thought, this is your thought, and we can agree to disagree.
But I think that comes off the Christian backbone of our religious backbone for even marriage.
Oh.
Well, I want to say Christian, especially in Barbados, mm-hmm. in terms of when I grew up in. Because monogamy is supposed to be two people against the world, right? And you're supposed to only have sexual attraction to one woman. You're supposed
Impossible.
To only want one man.
Impossible.
And as I get older, I'm like,
Impossible.
This is some bullshit.
Oh, you know it.
This is a fucking lie. But that's, and I think it was only, and even people who are like still virgins, so they say that I know, and still very much in church, they still have attraction towards women. And they butt up on someone like me, who's like, hi. You know what I mean? And then they're like, oh, you know, I don't have problems, blah, blah, blah. But they're still engaged in certain things. But back to my point of, I forgot what my point was. I'm sleepy. But back to my point of like,
you were talking about
monogamy. Like, I agree with you on that point. But to say that people who are monogamous are closed off, I disagree with. Okay. Because most of the people that I knew that were monogamous were able to say, all right, well, if there's what we want, I could try for you.
Okay.
And they were very open.
Okay, so
to me, and they would be like, oh, I'm like, I want to role play, and I'm like, okay, we could do that.
Okay.
We could discuss our fantasies about other people. We could engage in it.
Wow. Well, that's good to know.
So there was always a certain level of accommodating and adaptability with my partner. Mm-hmm. The issue was when it came to me being touched. Mm-hmm. And that's why we always say men are a different breed. And there are some women like that too. Well, the people that believe that them could do what they want to do but their partner can't, mm-hmm. is bullshit.
Yes, it is.
And I think there are men who are married and get them engaged, and women too, who know for sure that it's going to be a struggle sexually. And probably that's why, as a child, you are taught, when you're a Christian, you're taught purity and not even focusing on sex. So that when you get into marriage, you don't even know what sex feels like.
Oh, Jesus.
So you're just like, okay, well, this is the person that I am safe to do all these things with. But I don't even know, like, do you discuss STDs? Do you discuss foreplay? Is there... There are people who never kiss, never touch, never nothing before their husband. And I always ask myself, like, isn't that a little awkward the first time you have sex?
Yes, it is.
Because I don't understand how you can move from never seeing a man as sex... Well, not never seeing, but never pursuing anything sexual, never being aroused, never being anything. And you, in a marriage, you're supposed to just automatically open your leg and like, coming.
Right.
Like, and you never practice.
Exactly. Well, we had this conversation coming down in the car because this is exactly what happened with me. I'm married as a virgin. I'm not the woman. And that makes it even harder because the society says, I'm supposed to know that shit. How the fuck am I going to know?
How are you going to know?
How am I going to know? Even now at my age, I'll give a secret. In my groups, in one of my groups, all the members laugh me to scorn because I'm the erotic emperor. I'm the erotic emperor. And they're like, wait a minute. You got given your title, they said, because you've never had a threesome.
But threesomes are really hard to come by.
Yeah, but not only that, but this their idea of the fact that I write what I write and I am how I am, they've got the impression that I did and do everything. They've done everything, so they're telling me I'm a fraud, right? Uh-huh. But I'm like, but no, it's not that. I mean, I want to do these things, but none of these things happened when I was a teenager. I was all in church. I left the church at 33.
Well,
so that meant that I is only 10 years, you know. Mm-hmm. It's only 10 years. They got things I want to experience. I still ain't experienced yet.
I mean, I'm 23, going 24, and I still want to experience a proper threesome or a proper RG.
Well, at least you had one.
Women do this thing where it don't count.
No, but right? No, my last fuck, I give back that. And not just women. I give back my last fuck. Like, that didn't happen. I only had sex once for the year because the last one didn't come. I get that back. It was defective.
You don't have to talk about it. But something for me tonight is like having sex with a lot of different people. It's be a matter of like, men are like really like, I don't want to say scared, but they want to know that they're good.
Yes.
They want, and they used to, but the first time I ever was really sexual with somebody else, and like my boyfriend was 16, he was like, I want to ruin it for you. I want that only I can fuck you as good, and I don't want another man to fuck you. And I was like, in my head at 16, I was like, 16, 17, 18, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, what you want be so much more than all the other men have had or I will ever have. Like, that's a lot of pressure. I don't know if it was just him being all sexy, but he used to live by that. I know in my head, I'm like, that's a lot of pressure to put on yourself as a man. Because I would never put on myself as a woman. Like, I ain't like, what pussy do I just say?
No, he's
blah, blah, blah.
He's trying to be, that's an ego thing.
I know.
Yeah.
And then, like, even sometimes, like, my mom always told me that men are very sexual. They'll just want to fucking let you. So then used to use the word, but. So the first time I talked to this guy, I was like, we barely talked, and I was like, but there was some attraction. I was like, let me go and have some fun, because he was getting dropped home. Mm. All of us are getting dropped home with this one guy, and he was in the back seat, and I was like, let me go and have some fun. And he was like, everyone else had discussed it at him, and I was like, no, why are you gonna deal with him? I'm gonna convince him to come, right? And he came, but he didn't really get an erection. And he was like, I'm sorry. And I was like, what's there to be sorry about? Like, this is sprung on you.
No, but
I understand why he probably apologized and was saying he's sorry. But I wasn't disappointed because I did not expect. I expected. I because of what I was told men are. I was like, oh, he could love it. But then I was hit with reality, and I accepted reality, and I was very empathetic, and I was like, I will never do this to him again, because this is not what he would have wanted, but also this is not how he is built. But also, it's a matter of, you can have performance and everything is okay.
But you see, this, it's having... It's okay. The wet spot is all about authenticity and vulnerability. So everybody knows I can be, I always am extremely vulnerable on my show. You just hit a nerve.
Really?
You hit a nerve, but you hit a nerve in a good way, in the sense that if I wasn't in a different context, I would burst into tears just hearing that.
Oh.
Because I have had that issue several times. Feeling, because again, of how society has taught.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not... Look, I'll give an example. I love eating.
Mm-hmm.
Get her nice wet and she's all sopping wet. But because I need to be romanced as well, I am not hard.
I've had that before.
But
uh-huh.
The woman is... conditioned
to believe
that she, that just the act of eating should get me all erect, and if I'm not erect,
something's wrong,
and she makes an effort and she makes a point of telling me that something's wrong, or her.
No, but then for me personally, I say it as something's wrong that I'm not doing for you.
But no, it isn't even that. It doesn't even have to be that, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about my age before. I have health issues. Mm-hmm. I'm hypertensive. There's medical reasons for certain things.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not that. It's the complete opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Inside here, I am screaming because I want it to rise and it's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing that you've done.
That's probably something that people need to understand to about older men.
Right.
And they need to be... For me, not every man is like that. Young boys have it too. Like, young boys want to stress and not eating well and stuff like that. They have erectile dysfunction. But even for women, women have this thing, like, for me, it's always too personal to get, like, really, really sloppy wet. And I don't, because they have hormonal, like, balances.
Mm.
And I used to be like, it dry like a desert. Coping mechanism. It dry like a desert. It don't get wet. It be dry. I need lube. I'm actually just grab my lube.
Mm.
But, yeah, it's back to what you're saying. Well, crying and being appreciative of what I was saying.
Well, yeah, but being appreciative of that, because it is something that... I have not heard often.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, again, because again, societal things, we are not told that it is okay.
Uh-huh.
It is okay, to the point that when somebody says it's okay, in the back of my mind, I'm like, I don't believe you. you're just saying that because it's okay. Yeah, you say that, but 9 times out of 10, my performance anxiety came from my first wife.
Hmm.
Who looked at me and who said to me one day, she talked about my dick being small.
Hmm.
At the time, I laughed it off. I said, small pins is joke hard.
Yeah.
I got 2 kids. It does still work.
Yeah.
Right? And that, we laugh it off.
But that's when, something that you not get, that you get, that is not something that you get over.
It isn't.
Because I'm still going on to things too.
Right. Mm. It isn't. Because years later, mm-hmm. after we have divorced, my first thought is, oh, fuck. I gotta deal with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Who, how are they going to see this? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I said to the... Ooh, wait a sec. Wait, what? Okay, people. For the first time ever, the we are gonna have to end on a... Because this thing never tells me about a time limit. But it's actually telling me now that it's only 60 minutes. And it's now 56 minutes and 27 seconds. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to end this and we're going to start over again. All right? Because this is weird. This don't usually happen. But this is the Fashion Poet. This is the Wet Spot. We're going to be right back. And we're back. Okay, like I said, this is the first time that this has happened. So actually what that will, if I haven't done so, this is a great time for you, if you have not yet subscribed to the podcast, one, to subscribe, but two, you could also hit me up so that next time this happens, in that little break between the conversation, I can actually put an ad there. Which means that I can, you can sponsor an episode, and I can drop it in between the two sections. You know what I mean? So if you have anything to do with sexuality, you have a book that's about sex, or you've written anything, you're a sex coach, or you just want to be positive about sex in any way, shape, or form, hit me up, thewetspotpodcast@gmail.com, and sponsor an episode. I mean, I love doing this, but it don't pay me no money. So, sponsor an episode, and we can go from there. Yeah, okay, so as I was saying, this thing really, performance anxiety is something that really, really got to me. I was going to tell you before I realized that it cut out, that how I got over it was showing my dick out on a page. So it was like it was a group and everybody, there's one of those freaking
groups. I'm watching that dick pic though.
I don't know about that one, because that was ever since, but that was fine. I got several in my phone.
But
honestly, what it did, in that group, that was years ago, so I don't know if I have that particular one, but what that group was so liberal, and people were showing their bodies and being celebrated, I was deathly afraid, truth be told. But I said, I'm gonna do this, and I sent the picture, mortified. And you know that idea of seeing people saying do it afraid. I was so afraid. But people start coming back with, oh, that's so pretty. Oh, it's curved. Oh, that. One woman said, where the fuck are you putting that? One woman was like, where the fuck are you putting that? I was like, so in my brain, my ex-wife's conversation of it, so small, is what I'm hearing. But outside, to these women, it is not only normal, but for one girl, is actually bigger than average. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm like, so that gave me courage, and that gave me courage, and it started to help me to see myself. That is why I know I'm late. For those who have listened to the podcast long ago, I know I have not finished the Sensual Journey book. I promise I will sit down and finish it. I am on the lot. I need to finish it and release it. I understand this. But what I did, for those who don't know, I'm telling you, and for those who don't know, one of the books I decided to work on was a sensual workbook for women, which would tie in to what the same lady was talking about, in terms of, so it was self-love. You get a chance to, you have mirror work, you do all of these different things, and you, in the comfort of your own room, you have, it's almost like a guided meditation. Mm-hmm. So I put it down for, you have these a week of, you do this, then you do this tomorrow, you do this the next day, and hopefully you can continue doing it and you can learn to love yourself. So I actually did that with one of my subs. I'm still doing it. So I get a photo for her every day, but that photo is not just for my male, it's not for the male gaze. It is for her to center herself and know that she is loved.
When you say sub, you mean subscriber?
Submissive.
Okay, just making sure.
Yes, again, I am a dom, so I actually have two subs.
Interesting.
Yes, so we can talk about that off air. but yeah, so I took that experience that I had with her, and I put it in a book, and I was supposed to be finished by now, but I constantly put it off.
That's something you got right.
Only two? I got like four half written books, and I finished yet, girl. But you know, we love to see it though. I love to see women who are self aware, self assured. But I also recognize that not only women have those issues, and this is what I maintain. This is what the Wet Spot is about. This is what the Erotic Empire is about. I come on here and I am extremely vulnerable with you, deliberately, because I want you to be able to do the same. If there is no place else that you can do it, I tell people, I'm a man, and I cannot give you permission, but maybe I can give you space.
Interesting.
Maybe I can give you space. Okay. I cannot give you permission. I would not presume to give you permission to be a woman. Mm. Who the hell am I to say that? Mm-hmm. However, I understand that there needs to be safe spaces created for you to feel sensual without being pressured. And that's one thing, that's what this...
Or without anything in return.
Or without anything in return. Mm-hmm. And that's what the podcast is about. That's what the entire thing, all my books, everything under the Erotic Empire umbrella is about that. People don't... If you look at the surface, only about sex and only about fucking and only about poetry and all those things are vehicles to derail what's underneath the surface. And what's under the surface is giving people, but women specifically, a space to recognize themselves as sensual beings and be happy about it. So all of that to say, we're going to come back and wrap up to say, I started by talking about this 19-year-old girl who had issues with her labia, and she found this IG page which gave her validation. That lady who took her picture and who took a photo of her vulva and made a beautiful photo of it, made a beautiful image of it. And when I write poetry, that's what I do. I have had poems. Meditation, for example, was written by a pussy pig that somebody gave me. It was so beautiful, I had to write a poem about it. But I do that with my poems. My goal is to give you a space of being, to be loved, honestly, just to be loved. And I'm glad that we had Jojo here to talk about this.
Thank you.
Because what it is, for me, age is nothing but a number. I am not checking for her age being 23 or anything like that. I have always connected with her from a intellectual level, and recognizing that she and I have a lot of similarities in terms of what we think about sex and stuff like that. And for any time, I made the request, I want somebody to talk about this with on my show, and she jumped at it. So, thank you.
I was really. Something that I did when I was younger is that I took a piece of a mirror and I just held it between my legs. And people always talk about it, and I'm like, oh, that's so corny. But no, like, really hold it and just play with yourself. It's not to get off, it's not to do anything, but it's to know what you look like. So, you know. And it's not for a man to enjoy, it's not for you to be sexual, it's just for you to know your body.
Right.
Because I think we're only truly masters of ourselves when we can master our bodies and our minds and our emotions. And it can take a whole lifetime, probably.
It does. But
there's so many other things you have to do within life. That your labia, the size of your dick, your body, your skin, your hair should not be one of them.
Well, we do live in a very superficial society. Sure. So, but if you're listening to my voice, you're listening to our voices, please take that with you. We are encouraging you to love yourself. Love yourself authentically. Love yourself for you.
Mm.
Do not try to do things, even things as that have to do with your health, like change, like going into the gym or anything like that. Don't do it for nobody else.
But you.
But do it for you, right? People have wanted me to walk around the garrison and tell me I gotta do this and do this to lose weight, and I'm like, no, for two reasons. One, walking around in a circle is boring shit out of me.
Mm.
And two, no, I needed to accept and love myself for me first before I could say it's time to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I think you mentioned it, if I don't love myself now, I go and I work my ass off to get abs, I ain't gonna love myself then neither.
You guys still got the same problems.
Right? So, no, I love who I am. My doctor says I have to do certain things, and I'm dreading the idea of not eating the food I like. Real talk. But, you know, in truth and in fact, it is a mental thing. And all of what we've talked about has to do with it being mental. And as I close this podcast, if you want to just confess anything, you understand, like just talk about how you feel, whether it is you don't necessarily agree with anything I said, you want to save space to say what is deep in your heart, I will put a confession box on the IG page, right? The Wet Spot Podcast. But you can also check me on my email, and it will stay between us. You will always have a space in the Wet Spot to be authentic, even if it is to say, I don't love myself. How do I start? Because even coming to that place of understanding is a step forward, right? So we're going to end, but I just want you to know you are loved. You are loved, and that's all I got to say on that topic. We've been talking to JoJo, and who is a simple, I didn't even get a chance to read her bio that she had sent to me. Just a simple girl who loves herself and loves her body. But in the midst of all of that, again, thank you for being on the show. Thank you. So, this is Passion Poet. I am about to go and look for some ice cream. And once again, I know I'm jabbing you girls, you guys and girls who are in the cold. Come to Barbados for a vacation. All right, Passion Poet out.
This has been another episode of The Wet Spot. I am your host, Passion Poet. You can contact us at The Wet Spot Podcast at gmail.com. That's The Wet with two T's Spot Podcast at gmail.com. Or you can check us out on our Instagram page, the.wet with two T's dot spot dot podcast. I know it's a mouthful. I'll say it again. The dot wet two T's dot spot dot podcast. That's our Instagram page. If you wish, you can contact me, Bajan Passion Poet, on Instagram at Bajan.PassionPoet at Bajan, Bajan dot Passion Poet on Instagram. Thank you once again for being a part of our show. See you next time. Let's get wet.